And if you stay lonely and you don't reach out, at least this is the way it is for me, I become drained. When I bring them in and I spend my time mentoring them, that's how I get my juice. But that's how I stay connected. But when I'm just grinding every day, I disconnect over time. And I tend to move towards the cynicism side of that continuum.
Welcome to the Spartan Deca series on Spartan Up with Jared Cogswell, Director of Sport, and Yancey Culp, Director of Programming.
Welcome back, everyone, for part two of our interview with Bruce Babichon. In this episode, we're going to talk about the romantics versus the cynics. And remember, if you don't love what you do, if you're not passionate about what you do, you're never going to win the game.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.
I was doing a little research on you, Bruce, and you obviously have a lot of lessons to share, but you also had a concept of that you called it the dangerous drift. And the dangerous drift, it seemed like it had to do, you know, you have somebody that's very purposeful, they're very passionate about what they're doing, but then they go a little sideways.
Over the years, one of the things that I've been blessed with was that when I was a boy, I had great coaches. I was mentored. I went to a place called the Silver Spring Boys Club, and my dad was a coach. And so I learned coaching, and I was immersed in program building and coaching my entire life. And unfortunately, through high school, I had a great coach, and in college, I had a great coach. So I always held that in high esteem. And that concept really is applied to leadership and in coaching, because my world is coaching, but it doesn't matter whether it's a CEO or a coach. And I'll give you a perfect example of this, but the dangerous drift is there's a continuum. And whenever people become leaders of a business or people become new coaches or they started some, there's a romantic element to them, right? We romanticize our ideals. We romanticize the business. We romanticize the job. So when I'm going to come in, you know, I'm not going to be like the a-hole that came before me. I'm going to be a different guy. My players are going to love me. We're going to have this relationship. I'm going to hold myself to the highest standards. And you romanticize that. And then you have a romantic, obviously a physical, but a relationship with your athletes that's predicated, and your employees, if you're a boss, that's predicated on relationship, which predicated in my, I use the word love a lot in our coaching, but it can be, you develop deep rapport and relationships with your employees, and people are more important than things, right? And it's people first, outcome second. And there are coaches that have the philosophy, and I'm one of them, that if you can have the people at the highest level, the outcomes follow. Mm-hmm. But over time, the powers that be, the bottom line, the pressures to win, the pressures to be profitable, we tend to move from being this romantic coach and leader to more fanatical. Now we've got to have results. I've been at this. We got to have results, and people become subordinated to results. And when you start off in the romantic phase, you know, people offer their compliance. Now you make demands of people. And then when you move past that and you become a coach, you become a cynic, where it's only results that matter. And it's only obedience that matter. And people are subordinated to the higher purpose. And the example I use, and you guys are younger than me, but probably in the same era, the best example of this was the U.S.-Russian hockey game in 1980, was that when that Russian, this is important, when that Russian hockey program was built, it was built by a coach with a romantic idea. He was going to turn this country that didn't previously have any experience in hockey into the greatest powerhouse in the history of the world in hockey. And he did so. He did it with the love of his athlete. He created this idea. It was born, right? It was born and he created, he had this romantic affair with his athletes and they had this vision together and they had this incredibly deep, profound relationship with their coach and the coach and the athlete. And they were all in this together. And he put them on the map. He developed the philosophies. He had the culture. He had the buy-in. And they became a powerhouse. And as soon as they poked their head into the international world and became a powerhouse, the powers that be in Russia, right, said, listen, we need to win the gold medal. We need to be. And they replaced him with another coach. And that coach was a fanatic, soon to be a cynic. Mm-hmm. And he coached him. And while he got results, when he needed results, they needed results. The biggest game in both programs' history was the Olympics in 1980. It wasn't just a sports game. It was a philosophy. It was the East versus the West. It was, you know, communism versus, you know, freedom and all democracy. And those two philosophies collided on the ice, right? And what was interesting was that the players had lost their relationship and connection to their athlete in the Russian program. They had become drones. They had just become, you know, widgets in this program. And we sent over a what? We sent over a bunch of kids who were romantic, right? A coach who was a romantic, who had a big dream, who had a love affair with his athletes, right? We sent over boys who were romantics, who were deeply committed to and ingrained in the culture of the program and to each other. The Russians had lost that connection. And there's a fantastic moment when the two philosophies collided, the romantics versus the cynics, the freedom versus communism. And when they collided on ice, in the moment when the Russian coach needed to be able to draw on the humanity of his athlete, in the final 2 minutes, when there's more than just talent, when there's more than just the X's and O's, when it comes down to the Jimmys and the Joes, and somebody has to step up and perform at that super, the Russian coach could not summon that from his athlete. And there's a great, there's a movie, if you've never seen it, I can't remember the name of it, but it's about that. But there's a great scene in that movie when the American coach looks over and says he doesn't know what to do. They're losing. Miracle. And he doesn't Kurt know Russell. What to do. Miracle, right. Kurt Russell. Great, great movie. If you're a coach or you're a business leader, there's a bunch of great movies. Hoosiers is one of those. Miracles is one of those. Marshall is one of them. We Are Marshall. But that movie in particular showed you when you lose connection, because we're people, right? We're not drones. And so in a sport or in a business, when you lose that personal connection, when there's no romanticism in your business, you're dying. And as soon as you run into an organization that's culture has a sense of romance to it, culture beats talent. Culture beats schemes. Culture is the most important thing. And when you run into a program or an athlete, a relationship where there's a romantic element to it. You guys know what I'm talking about, the romantic element. When there's love that flows through an organization, they become nearly impossible to beat. And if all you can bring are schemes and game plans and plays, you're in for a beating. And that was the greatest example of that I'm aware of, where you have romantics versus cynics in the biggest stage, in the biggest moment for the world to see, and you see that the romantics won. And so that's how I teach that. That's how I share that with my athletes and the teams and my coaching staff and the coaches that I ask to, I come, sometimes I'll go and talk to coaches about the importance of staying romantic, staying connected to that person you were when you first got the job. And the high ideals and the high purpose of that kind of stuff.
Bruce, damn. Thank you for sharing it. That's our freaking mic drop, JC.
Yeah, it's really good, Bruce.
We'll be right back to this interview, but first a message from today's sponsor, Duralane. You know that knee pain can really slow you down. Sometimes that knee pain is due to osteoarthritis, a disease that affects some 14 million Americans. Learn about osteoarthritis knee pain and how to alleviate it at oakneepainrelief.com. You'll find information there about non-surgical, non-opioid treatments for osteoarthritis knee pain that may help delay the need for knee surgery. One treatment you'll find there is Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months of relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. It's indicated for the treatment of mild to moderate osteoarthritis knee pain when conservative treatments have not worked. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. Full prescribing information is at Duralane.com. Spartans say no to limits. You can learn more at oakneepainrelief.com. That's oakneepainrelief.com. All right, back to the interview.
You know, Yancey and I have a lot of years coaching, and you know, there's been moments, admittedly, in my career on the coaching side of just like, oh man, it when you just knew your heart wasn't into it, and 100%. You feel guilty because I'm like you, I want to love on my athletes, I want to love on my clients,
right.
I want to be authentic about what I'm doing with them. I don't want to be a trainer. I want to be a coach. I want to educate. I want to motivate. Right. I want to inspire. But I want them to know that I'm being authentic. What about that leader or coach that when that drift does happen, when you know, how do you, I guess, re-energize that passion and purpose as a coach? Because it's hard work. You know, you're investing it's so much work, into man. Other people every day.
Every day. And first of all, let me just take a half a step back and say that I offer all this stuff. I don't mean to be telling anybody anything. I offer all of these things in the most humble way possible. I don't tell other coaches or anything. I'm passionate about what I believe in, but let me also say this. And so I'm not telling anybody how to do anything, but if you can make a coaching mistake, I've made it. You know, I mean, I'm, you know, somebody came to me one time and asked me a really question that's just like the question you asked me. He said, how do you coach a kid you hate? How do you coach a kid you don't like? You know, as if coaches don't have life experiences where they have situations where they have athletes or in situations they don't like. And it's, you know, it's very hard because – you know, I'm like you. I'm all about the relationship, and if I can't connect to an athlete, it's very hard for me to coach them. In fact, you know, it's difficult for me to coach them. So, I don't know if there's a foolproof way of doing it, of reconnecting, but for me, like I do these camps where I take. The way that I rejuvenate my juice is by sharing my juice, right? It's by sharing my knowledge. And the more I do for other people, the more juice I have. And so, you know, I have a tendency to be in my gym by myself, working with my athletes. And if I get isolated in my space, I feel the energy leaving my body. I got to go out and I got to share what I'm trying to be with other people who are interested in trying to be the same thing. So we're all trying, the three of us are trying to be great coaches. You know, we may end up being there one day, we may not, you know, but I get that juice back by sharing that information and reaffirming to myself my belief in it. If I just keep it to myself and I'm in the gym and I grind away in my office or in my gym by myself, I lose connection to the things that give me energy. Leadership is isolating. Coaching is isolating. It's lonely, right? It's lonely sometimes. Mm-hmm. And if you stay lonely and you don't reach out, at least this is the way it is for me, I become drained. And when I go out and I meet other coaches and I talk to other coaches or I bring in other coaches and I spend my time mentoring, I have 7 assistant coaches. When I bring them in and I spend my time mentoring them, that's how I get my juice, but that's how I stay connected. But when I'm just grinding every day, I disconnect over time and I tend to move towards the cynicism side of that continuum. But when I'm sharing these ideals and I'm teaching, so I believe there's 3 levels, right? You're an instructor, you're a coach. I mean, you're an instructor, you're a teacher, you're a coach. Instructors are people that come in and they know a specific skill set or a specific thing, and their job is to teach that thing. A teacher comes in, and a teacher teaches lessons that are associated with that thing. They teach a bigger picture. And then a coach comes in, and he builds a program that houses all of it, right? So when I am just a teacher, or if I'm just an instructor, which what happens, the leadership, sometimes I'm just an instructor, and I'm just doing the one thing every single day, right? I lose connection to my higher purpose. Mm-hmm. When I get with an assistant coach and I explain to him or her, this is why we do this. This is why I do this. This is why it's all of a sudden my juice comes back. My energy comes back for coaching. And I stay reconnected, but unless I give it away, I lose it. It just comes, it goes. And you see this all the time. You see this life cycle of coaches. They rise up and then they burn out. Then they rise up and they burn out, right? When they burn out, what do all those coaches end up doing? They retire and then they go share their energy, right? They go on the tour and they share their energy. And then 2 years later, they want to coach again, right?
Yep. Yeah.
This is how it works, right? You got to share your energy. For me, the more I share, the more energy I get. The more I focus on the end result, the more I lose my energy quickly.
Bruce, you have you've coached some of the best boxers on the planet. Mm-hmm. You've coached the amateurs. You've coached team sports like football. Right. Talk to us about the power of rebuilding. And some of the differences when we're working with an individual sport versus team sports, but just the overall power of rebuilding when we lose.
Team sports is always next year, the next thing coming. In pro fighting, that might be the last thing. You know, if you get knocked out, you get knocked out badly, you know, you might not be coming back. So everything that you've identified yourself with, everything you've worked for your entire life, that can get taken away from you in 1 second. And when that happens, how do you rebuild an athlete? Assessing that they can physically, you know, continue the sport, but how do you rebuild them emotionally, right? So the first thing that we do is we don't deny that I do with my athletes. First thing is and you guys know this, you got to hug your athlete. You got to let them know. First, you got to be honest with them first, right? Did they devote themselves to this endeavor? Trying hard is okay, but if they devoted themselves to the endeavor and they, you know, didn't leave any stone unturned and they completely committed to the endeavor and they lost, then you approach them one way. If they didn't do that and they lost, they lose, then you have to approach them in a more honest way. Say, you know, I was playing golf. I like to play golf, and because I'm competitive, like I'm a wildly competitive guy, I was playing golf with one of my buddies who's a real golfer, good golfer, and I hit a bad shot, and I'm usually pretty stoic, but I showed some emotion. He walked over to me, and he said, "Listen, you don't play enough, or you don't practice enough, and you don't work hard enough to be mad when you hit bad shots." And I remember he said it to me because that's what I say to my athletes. And I said, I say to the athlete, listen, I understand you feel bad about losing. But if you haven't devoted yourself to this, I'm not going to be that sympathetic because you haven't devoted yourself. So the lesson for you is if you want to have the right to feel bad about your loss, then you need to have earned it by devoting yourself to the endeavor. Then when you devote yourself to the endeavor, we can live with the outcome, but we have to approach it in a different way. And so when you have an athlete who's devoted themselves and given 100% of themselves and they lose, then you have to approach them in a much different way because then they do the thing that they identify themselves with is taken from them. You know, in today's world and the way that kids view commitment is different than I think than maybe our generation did. And a lot of these kids don't even know the basic lesson that they don't deserve to feel bad about their loss. They haven't worked hard enough to earn the right to feel bad about their loss. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, we teach that at the gym.
great lessons for all of us, Bruce. And I think what's amazing here is that you're really bringing to light your coaching principles that not just work on the athletic field or in the boxing gym, but also in the executive world, the business world, and you know, just in general, daily life performance. So we really thank you for your time. I want the audience to know where to find you, though, because I know you're doing some great things with businesses and large organizations, obviously with athletics as well. What's the best way to get in contact with you, Bruce?
Well, you can go to my – I do some speaking, and that sort of grew organically. So you can go to my website, yourcornerman.com, if that's of interest. I'm on social media. I'm on Your Corner Man. I'm everything but on the website. I'm really just about boxing and that. On the website, that's a little bit of commercial stuff about speaking, and I got some help people, you know, people promote me and that kind of stuff. But if you want to find out about that, it's yourcornerman.com. Otherwise, on Instagram, I'm Your Corner Man, and I'm Bruce Babichan on Facebook, and that's it.
All right. Well, Bruce, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Spartan Up. Do you want to be ready for anything? Download Joe's free ebook at spartan.com/readyforanything. Do you know someone who needs a little help staying motivated, staying informed, getting or staying mentally and physically resilient? We're here 3 days every week with a mix of content to help you stay strong. From mindset to nutrition and everything in between. Listen every Tuesday to hear Joe DeSena, Spartan Race founder and CEO. And the rest of the week, join us for DECA, Endurance, and Classic episodes. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at duralane.com.